All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to be here with you again. Before we get started, children, whenever you get done playing in the evening, and whenever you need to get your toys picked up out there, the balls and the bats and the whatever you're playing with, need to get put up somewhere. The lawnmower guy was complaining this week about that. So, do we have any prayer requests? Okay. Okay. Remember Ishmael's brother, Carlos, in Colombia. He's really having family problems. Keep him in the prayers. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with these requests, Lord, that have been made. Lord, help us remember to lift them up before you throughout the week. Lord, we thank you again for all that you do for us. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your spirit. Help us be faithful to you. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, help us again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to the Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 3. Let's I've just been encouraged throughout the years, several of these books that in the Bible that the early church had studied for years, for throughout church history. They had them for a long time until it's just been the last few hundred years that they've not been used so much, but I've just found so many blessings in them. Today we're this verse 3 or chapter 3 talks about honoring parents. It's just today people are celebrating Father's Day, and it's just a lot of times we talk about doctrine and theologies, and we often separate the reality of God's creations from our theology. We have to figure out all about things, but God has set things in motion, and carrying out His will and His plan is perfect theology. Carrying out what He had intended for mankind is perfect doctrine. And a lot of times we separate those things, that they're not, well, that's not spiritual. Well, a true spiritual man is one who is living in God's will. Brother Hans brought out that give thanks always, and that is our responsibility. That's the will of God, that we give thanks. I mean, how can you, that doesn't sound very deep theologically, but giving thanks is a spiritual thing. It is what God requires of us, and it's something that's expected from God from us. So, like I said, a lot of times we separate these simple things from spirituality, when in reality is to give thanks always is our responsibility and is our duty. It's our spiritual duty. We've seen a lot of people that are theological or strong on doctrines, are very, very religious, but are they giving thanks and praising God for their life every day. You know, we can have a lot of things right and be really wrong. And on the same hand, we can have some things wrong and still be really, really right. And a lot of that just, when we miss the reality of who God is and what He expects of us. God created a man, and He created a woman. And that was a family. And that is just part of God's creation. And that's what He created in the Garden of Eden. And that's what Jesus came to restore to us, that relationship, that fellowship of a created being with a Creator and a God. And just sometimes those simplest things are just overlooked, and we just kind of take them for granted. But that's who we are. That's what God expects of us. That is our reasonable service. It's just understanding who we are, where we came from. A lot of times we forget where we came from, who we are, because we live in a world that's so... I say educated, but I say that with parentheses around it, or with quotation marks, I guess, because a man learns a lot more doesn't necessarily mean he's gained anything. Some of the simplest men in the world maybe couldn't have done anything compared to what people know today. Maybe they wouldn't hardly know any of what they know today, but they had some basic principles that they knew, and they're much farther ahead. A man that walks with God and just understands his basic foundation has all kinds of room to build and grow. But the man who doesn't have that foundation, the simple foundation, it doesn't matter what he builds on it. The Bible makes it clear about the foundation that we build on. And I believe there's going to be a lot of people that have built up huge knowledge foundation, but there's no foundation for it to stand on, because they just overlooked or missed a lot of the basic principles that God has given us. It's just a blessing. Appreciated the boys' lesson this morning too. Honoring parents is the title here of the subject. It says, "Give heed to me, O children, for I am your father. And do what I tell you, that you may be saved. For the Lord honored the father over the children, and strengthen the judgment of the mother over her sons. He who honors his father atones for his sins." That sounds like a pretty strong statement. There's several of them that the Bible makes that if we understand these basic principles, it applies a foundation through our life. Not just because, well, if I honor my father, my sins are forgiven. That's not what it's saying. But if you understand these basic principles and you have that honor and respect that you have for your father and your mother, because God instilled that. He put them in that place over you. He created this system of a father and a mother and a family. And whenever we understand that principle of life, we're well on our way to being what we're supposed to be. Then we can understand why Jesus came. When there's a real heart to it, it puts life into Jesus' sacrifice for us. So we can have our sins atoned. And he who honors his father atones for his sins. And he who honors his mother is like one who stores up treasure. He who honors his father will be gladdened by his own children, and when he prays, he will be heard. These are blessings promises, principles that God has given to us. That, like I said, when we understand these simple things, we can go on to build greater things. People are looking for a lot of treasure. But if we don't have that foundation, it doesn't matter what we build. I think this is one of the principles that we're seeing all around us, the decay of churches, the decay of the communities. We've missed these principles. You know, this world is under attack. Satan hates the family. Satan hates people honoring their fathers and their mothers. He hates the idea that man was created by God. And all around us, you can see the fruit of people who have taken up these things. And it's families destroyed, homes destroyed, communities destroyed, because we've missed and lost a lot of these principles. And if we don't keep them, who will? This world is under attack. We can see it all around us. I don't know how many times we've tried to help people. And you know, a lot of the times, whenever you start talking about their families, they didn't have one. You talk about their fathers, well, they know him, but he's usually no good and worthless, because that's what they've been taught by society, by their mother, because there's just not any respect for them there. They often grow up to become bitter and angry. It's just, it's all around us. It's common. You go into some cities and there's something like 80% of the children that are born don't even really know who their father is. If they do, they don't have very good thoughts of him. And that creates bitterness and anger and confusion. And it's all around us. We're getting closer and closer. You know, people talk about the government and things that are going on. Well, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Part of that face seeking is realizing where we came from, where we belong, and the position, the simple positions that we're supposed to maintain in our lives, because that's the way God made it. He who honors his father will have a long life, and he who obeys the Lord will give rest to his mother. And he will serve his parents as masters. Honor your father and mother in word and deed. For the blessing of a father establishes the house of the children, but the curse of the mother uproots their foundations. You see how important it is. The blessings of a father establishes the house of the children. You know, we're laying foundations, not only for ourselves, but from those who follow on after us. Just heard a story this week about a woman that, an old woman lives in Purdy, that her husband had put a pen of hogs out in the brush. And shortly after he got them out there, he got sick, so the woman had to start taking care of him. And she said there was no path to get back to where they were at. And so every day, she would walk the same way to get down there to take care of those hogs, and then come back the same path. And she said after a while, a path was established. just by taking that steady path every day, she had created a path. And for years on, everyone followed the path that she had created, that she worked out of the brush, just getting down to feed those hogs, till it became the established path on the farm there. People still follow that same path because it was something that was established. And she stepped going down every day and she made a path. She tells that story. And it's a story of someone's going to follow you. Someone's following you. You are creating a foundation. You're creating a path. You're building a road that someone else is going to follow. What kind of road do they have to follow? You know, on that road, some may choose to veer off of it. But it's there. It's there. We need to respect those that have gone through the brush and made those paths. For the curse of the mother uproots their foundations. You know, sometimes we hear people that talk about their parents and how wrong they are, how bad they are, and how hard they had it, or how terrible it was to be under that person. The thing about it is, it may be just complaining, but what you're doing is building a foundation. You're uprooting a foundation. When you curse your mother, and put the father in there too, you are laying a foundation for your children that's uprooted a foundation. None of us have perfect parents. None of us are perfect parents. But we can honor our parents. We can appreciate our parents for what they did do for us. Maybe they lacked a lot. But if you start uprooting, tearing down that foundation, you're laying a terrible path for your children. You know, we can overcome a lot of these things that we might have had to live with growing up. We can overcome them. God will be with us. God will help us. But if you start tearing down that foundation there, you're not leaving anything for anybody to follow you in. Just like the parents growing up with, or the children growing up without a father, they have no foundation to follow. They have no path to follow. They're on their own. And we can do the same with our children. Do not glory in the dishonor of your father. For your father's dishonor is no glory to you. You know, we can see their faults. Maybe they did some really dumb things. But don't glory in the wrongs that they've done. It's no honor to you to do that. We can see mistakes they've made. We can see problems. The best way to fix that is to actually correct it in our own lives. You know, a lot of people throw out the good things. They throw the baby out with the wash water. They throw the baby out with the dirty water. The good things get thrown out a lot of times because of one bad taste of a couple of bad things a parent might have done. And so they get rid of everything else. You know, there's a lot of opportunity that we have. There's a lot of good things that we can build on if we have that kind of foundation. I remember when I was young, I grew up going to church. I've told the story before, and we went to church every Sunday. I went to church every revival night meeting. I was there all the time when I was young. And I went to the altar and begged to be saved, but nothing ever happened. Over and over again, I was scared to death of going to hell. But I went up there to be saved, and I was told if I just believed that Jesus died for me, I'd be saved. And I tried just to believe that. But I knew that as I was praying, when I got up, I was going to do the very same things I did all before. I was going to go do them all again. I just wanted forgiven. I just wanted to go to heaven. I just wanted that peace and happiness. Well, I lived that way for years and years and years. Went to the altar I don't know how many times to get saved because I doubted whether I was saved or not. Because I just somehow didn't believe enough. Whenever I was 18 years old, a preacher preached about being hot or cold. Because I was lukewarm, God would vomit me out of my mouth. And I knew God was asking. I had been trained that the response to that was to go to the front and ask forgiveness. That's all I knew. But I knew that God was wanting more of me than that. And I knew that I was making a choice one way or the other. And at 18 years old, I reasoned in my own heart. Lord, I've tried everything. And I just gave up. And I went out into the world and just started living for myself. Went out and got married. Started a family, just living for me. One day, Mom and Dad, they had a Sunday dinner every Sunday, and they had my wife going to church with them. And I came for Sunday dinner after church one day, and the whole family was around the table, and I walked in the door, and Dad said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. She's having to go to church all by herself, and you won't even take her." I thought for just a little bit, sat down and ate, went home, and I got to thinking, I ought to be ashamed of myself. You know, with all the problems and all the things that I couldn't find, the things that I had been taught that hadn't helped, I still wanted my child to have at least what I had growing up. You know, because I could look at the world and I could see, even in my setting that was growing up, it was a wonderful thing. Compared to what most people grew up with in the world. My parents were together. They had their issues, but we had a family. We learned a lot of good things. We learned how to work. We learned how to get along sometimes. We learned a lot of good things. And I learned a lot of good things just the very idea that there was a God, that it helped shape my life. And I began to realize that I wanted my child. If I can't offer him anything else, I want to give him that. Just at least what I had. So I started going back to church and found the same old answers, that there was no real answer there. So I just started reading this Bible. I just started reading what it said, and I found that there was things God wanted for me, and they were in this book, and it wasn't just about saying a prayer. But Jesus actually wanted us to give thanks. But Jesus actually wanted us just to obey Him. He laid out the principles. They were there all the time. I remember hearing them. Whether anyone did them or not, they were there. So I decided that my life was God's, and I gave my life back to God. So I wanted to give my family at least that. Well, you know how it went. I gave my family to God and gave my children to God. I remember praying, Lord, you can take them, they can be missionaries, you can do whatever you want with them. I never dreamed that He would just take them from me. Never dreamed that it would all be taken from me. That my children would grow up hating their father. My children would grow up in this situation where they didn't have a father. They would grow up in a world, the things that I wanted to protect them from was all stripped away. And they were just wide open to everything in the world. But I wanted to follow the Lord. I knew that this was still right. I knew that the principles were still there, even though I couldn't have them. That's all I wanted, was to be able to train a family and have a family to love God, to love each other. The principles are right. The foundation is right. We might not be able to partake of all the fruit of it all the time, but it's still right. And as many things that I might not have appreciated, I thank God for what I had. And you children, maybe your parents are lacking. Well, you can do like this says. Do not, you can glory in His dishonor. You can glory in His dishonor and really think you're something special because you've outdone, but what will happen is you'll turn out disliking. And it'll be no honor for you. But we can love them, we can honor them, and we can appreciate the things that have been given to us. The level that we're on, we can appreciate that and build on it. Do not glory in the dishonor of your father. For your father's dishonor is no glory to you. I've heard people look at their dads and say, I'll never be like that. And then look at their lives and see, you're just like that. That's what it's talking about here. For your father's dishonor is no glory to you, for the glory of man is from the honor of his father. And the disgrace for children is to dishonor their mother. My son, help your father in his old age and do not grieve him in his life. And if his understanding fails, be considerate and do not dishonor him in your prime. For kindness to a father will not be forgotten, and it will be credited to you instead of your sins. It will be remembered in the day of your affliction. Thus your sins will melt away like frost in warm weather. He who forsakes his father is like a blasphemer, and he who provokes his mother to wrath is cursed by God. You know, it doesn't matter what our station is or where it was, we have an opportunity to build on what we were given. To build on what we had. It may not be perfect, But if we will be thankful and respectful and honorable to what we have, we can make it better. If we bellyache and complain about it, and hate them or be angry because of what they might have done, it'll be nothing but a curse to us that'll follow us all our days. May God help us to just understand these simple principles of life. God created us. He created us men. And I've said before, people try to be a Christian, but until we are a man or a woman or what God created us to be, we're just wasting our time. Because God created a man. And when we're restored to what we're born again, He's just trying to restore us to what He created in the first place. Just a man that loves Him and honors Him, that devotes himself to Him, listens to Him, obeys Him, and is thankful. Is full of honor and respect for his parents and his elders. You know, I've seen a lot of times men will always complain about the church. They'll complain about the authorities. They'll complain about, you're sowing seeds that are going to be hard for your children to get over. You're breaking up a road. You're breaking up a foundation that they could build on to help correct those things. You're setting stumbling blocks. Be careful about the path that you're leaving to your children. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
I was just along those lines, I was just thinking about the thought I had before the message, even when all the boys were sharing about the goodness of God in their lives. Just about every one of them, everything that was shared, you could look and see where somebody had to really fight and struggle to get to where that was possible.
Praise the Lord.
To have what we have, that we're thankful for. Somebody had to struggle to get it.
I see God's goodness every day when I go to work. He gives me courage and strength in the day. Sometimes I can be feeling kind of tired or kind of just down about something. And if I ask God to give me strength, He usually... Yeah, He always does.
Whenever we put to practice God's principles of being honest and helping each other out, it just benefits everybody. And I could really see that this week of our family just helping each other out. And it was just one way that I saw the goodness of God.
One way I can see the goodness of God is that we're able to have all of my dad's family, except like one brother here, all come to Missouri and spend some time. And so it's really nice to have them around. And just the weather and everything, it's a real blessing. We're really privileged here.
It's been a blessing how we've been able to have lots of work and berries to pick on our farm, and how at the market there's people, some customers are just, you know, kind of gloomy, but some people just really happy and just really nice and just make your day brighter. That's a blessing.
I see the goodness of God when I think about if our parents or grandparents went to got together, whatever, then we won't exist on this earth.
I see the goodness of God just in this past week. It's been beautiful weather, and We had a neighbor come over and swath our fields for us and just had a real great time working in the shop with my brothers and my dad.
God has mercy on all of us.
I see the goodness of God every morning. Get up and everyone's really happy and glad for a good new morning.
I see the goodness of God every morning and wake up and being able to go to work. Some people don't have the privilege of getting up early and waking up in the great outdoors or going to work in the fields or whatnot. Some people have to work in a factory that it's really hot and not very good hours. Some people just, the goodness of God is being able to work outside in the beautiful weather.
See the goodness of God, and every day I go to work, I think about all the things that I know. I learned from my dad, and how if it weren't for him, I would not know a lot of things that I know. And I really appreciate him for that.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be here this morning to see y'all again and fellowship, and just a real blessing. The thoughts I was kind of going along was about how God takes care of us in the future. And I liked what David said, that the future is really none of your business to worry about, because it's just our God has us here on this earth to live each day at a time and just to serve Him each day. And I got in Matthew 6, where it says, for this, it's Matthew 6:25, and it says to not be worried. It talks about a few things here, but for this reason, I say unto you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you eat, or what you put on, or what would you drink. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you so worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, they do not spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these, like the lilies of the field. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So there it just says to live each day as it's yet its own day here. And I was thinking about how that kind of goes along with another thought where we just have such a blessing here. The church, this family, that it's just, we're real privileged here. We need to use that to God's glory, but it's just a blessing to be able to, if we need help, we've got people that we can ask, and it's just like there's other people around the world that might live somewhere poor, somewhere way out, and really not have too many friends or anything. I mean, even right here in this community, there's plenty of people that only might have a few friends or a couple people that would help them. And so it's just a blessing. And then I found another verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Something like that. And that's just, we just need to be thankful for all the blessings we have here and God's goodness. And I liked Roger's point about how God helps us every day. It's just, he just needs us. He just helps us every day, and we need him. But and in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, I had another section. Trust in God with all your heart, and do not exalt your own wisdom. In all your ways, know wisdom, that she may cut a straight path for you, and your foot will not stumble. So God knows best. God's put us here on this earth to serve him, and so he can see if we're found faithful. And just trust the Lord. And so I like that. I like that verse for that reason. But anyway, that's kind of all I thought of. I mean, I don't know if there's any other comments you had to add or whatever. But anyway, it's just a real blessing to be here. God bless y'all.
Jesus, oh, the world of love. Hallelujah. Yeah.